Hey everyone, welcome to the BTC Top Rope Talk Podcast, Episode 6, March 2nd, 2018. The road to WrestleMania in full swing. Fastlane is on the WWE Network next Sunday. Two big announcements to kick off the show right away. We will not be having a podcast next Friday. I'm heading on spring break, and I'm not sure if my trip will see me having a laptop with me, so just for that reason, we're going to do our Fastlane preview today, as I don't expect the creative geniuses of SmackDown to add anything else to the card by between now and next Sunday. So we'll do that this week. And another big announcement, we are going to do a live special sometime the week of WrestleMania over Google Hangout. I'm still figuring out the details, what day it's going to be, whatever. We'll talk about it as a group. But that's kind of my plan, and kind of our plan as a whole was to go live during the week of Mania.
It's going to be an amazing show.
Aaron, shut up.
Aaron's spoiling things. Yeah, we're going to go live.
There's no spoiler.
Boy, there's going to be a spoiler when your balls are cut off.
Okay, gentlemen, just talking.
We're gonna go live the week of Mania. We're gonna have our Hall of Fame preview. We're gonna have our TakeOver predictions. We're gonna have our Mania predictions on that show on Google Hangout at some point. I expect it to be the Wednesday or Thursday before Mania, or even the Tuesday before. We'll find a day. We usually find a day for these podcasts, even though everyone seems to get all riled up and find something to do, including myself. So it'll work out in the end. So with that being said, pretty straightforward show this week. We're just going to fly through things here. Aaron, I can hear you snorting in the background, boy. Shut up.
I have a runny nose. I'm sorry.
Straightforward show. We're going to preview or review Elimination Chamber. We're going to go through all the shows this week, preview Fastlane, and be on our way. It's pretty simple this week, so let's get to it. Reviewing the Elimination Chamber from this past Sunday in Las Vegas, Nevada. Okay show. Could have been a lot better. Could have been a lot worse. I've seen a lot worse. Pre-show match. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson of The Club versus Mr. Rogers, Bo Dallas, and Curtis Axel. The Club won. Not much else to say unless anyone wants to add some really brilliant insight to that. We kicked off the main show with the Women's Elimination Chamber match. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley versus Mandy Rose versus Mickie James versus Sasha Banks versus Sonya Deville. Needless to say, my pick of Sonya Deville did not win the Elimination Chamber on Sunday. I was very disappointed.
What a shame.
Very disappointed. She had a good showing until she didn't.
I'm not gonna lie though, she had killer fucking, I don't know, takedown / spear.
She looked good. Mandy Rose looked a lot better than she did on the Raw before the Chamber, I'll tell you that much. For this match, I figured it could end a lot worse, and the match as a whole could have been a lot worse. It was a good match to me. I know a lot of people had mixed opinions on the Chamber as a whole. Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks were the final two. Bayley and Sasha Banks had their
turn. I mean, fucking honest, did anybody really think little old Alexa Bliss can survive the Elimination Chamber with the competitors like Bayley and Sasha, even Sonya? You really think she's going to survive that in real life? Like, really, Vince? Like, really? Like, I don't care if it would have been outside interference or something. Help her, but she just straight up beat Sasha.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it if I wouldn't have minded if Mickey made it into the final three just to have that, you know, help. And then Lex and Mickey end up being the final two, and then they turn on each other, whatever. I understand why they had Bliss and Banks the final two, or Bliss and Banks the final two. But, yeah, I'm pretty over the Alexa Bliss title reign as a whole.
I'm not. I like seeing that title around that tight ass of hers.
Well, ain't that the the truth.
God bless being straightforward. So Sasha Banks turned on Bayley during this match. Sasha went to help Bayley up a pod to go after Alexa Bliss, who had climbed a pod to avoid the two, and then Sasha kicked her right in the fucking face and sent her to the ground. Bayley and Sasha would... Bayley would deliver middle rope, Bayley to belly, on Sasha Banks, take her sweet-ass time trying to cover her, which allowed Alexa Bliss to roll up Bayley, and then Bliss versus Banks was the final two, and Bliss hit a top rope DDT that made Andrade Cien Almas cry in his sleep, and pinned Sasha Banks to retain the Raw Women's title, and she got a hell of a promo afterward. It made a lot of people think she was doing a face turn for 2 seconds until she veered right onto the fuck this audience thing, to which she got chance of you deserve it. And then when she told the audience that, they deserve nothing, they cheered.
This is how fucked up we are.
Imagine being enough of a cuck to cheer being told you're nothing. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, okay.
Can we talk real quick? I mean, it is the truth. I mean, Travis is a little bit of a human.
Okay, Travis, you get the floor.
Sasha Banks no sold the Twisted Bliss off the top of the pod.
Okay, I got word on what happened here. It was supposed to be a reversal. And it was supposed to be a reversal into the bank statement right away, and they fucked it up really bad.
How the fuck can you reverse that to the bank statement? Seriously.
The same way you reverse the F5 into the RKO, everyone had a pipe dream of that, even though it's literally impossible unless Randy Orton was upside down in the F5, but, you know. I mean...
Okay.
I don't know how they would have pulled it off. I just know that was the plan. Was it was supposed to be turned into a bank statement right away, and I got fucked up as expected. But yeah, it completely looked like a no sell. Agreed. Thoughts on the women's chamber as a whole? I didn't think it was bad. I thought it could have been a lot worse. I didn't have many expectations of it going in because I just didn't know how it was gonna play out with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville and Alexa Bliss in it, but I thought it was okay.
Happened so soon. They just had the Women's Rumble.
Yeah.
They should have did that like next year or something, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Travis?
I was bored the whole time. So.
Yeah. I don't know. When Sonya and Mandy were in control, I was a little bit intrigued because I felt like they were actually going to get down to the final three, and then something was going to happen between them two.
Yeah, I thought that would have been booked a lot better than Alexa. I really loved
that point of the match was when they took control, and that was just amazing.
it was better than I expected. That part, they definitely proved to me. In the future, as like against Asuka or whoever the champion is, I really think Sonya can put up a fighting chance. Yeah. I can see as a heel, like an underdog heel, like that. Like she probably has like a puncher's chance of they could book it like that. I definitely wouldn't mind seeing Sonya if she gets better in the ring and gets up to a little bit of the level of Asuka. I mean, not all the way there because Asuka's like what the best women's wrestler in the world, another than like Charlotte or. Juana Austin is absolutely ridiculous. She may have a fat ass, but she's absolutely ridiculous. Trust me. But
Juana, I almost killed you.
Juana Austin, fool.
You cut out, so I just heard Lana. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, Lana's the best wrestler in the world. She's better than Brock. She's better than Cena. She's better than Okada. Lana's actually better than Okada, dead ass. She's the PWI 500.
Lana's even better.
Did you hear that pin dropping in the background? That's the pin that drops when the viewers tune out after they hear that.
Proud of Mandy and Sonya. They proved to me that they can go. Even though Mandy is a little bit still green as hell. I mean, if it wasn't for her and her ridiculous fucking body, I'm pretty sure she'd be a little bit down the card. But with her being beautiful, basically like the next Trish Stratus, she showed herself.
Yeah.
Of a Trish Stratus in this day and age, so I don't mind seeing it. But only thing I know is, the only thing I want to say on this subject is basically, Alexa Bliss's champion in the chamber isn't fucking intriguing to me, because there's no way she should have won.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
But if you have somebody like Asuka as a champion next year, a year into her title reign, then that's interesting to me. That makes an elimination chamber. If Asuka's a champ, she's undefeated, and it has to be five people for her to actually feel like she actually can lose, then that's an elimination chamber to me. Not no fucking Alexa Bliss. Come on now. I'm sorry. I love Alexa. She's beautiful. Whatever the hell you want to say. She's an okay wrestler. I wouldn't say the best. Not the best at all. She's good on the mic. She's the best on the mic, period, but still. Like, come on. Like, there's no way she's going to actually win an elimination chamber. But she did. So, whatever.
Yeah, that was the...
That was the...
If you ask me, that was the theme of the night, almost. They aren't supposed to win the chamber, but hell, they did. We'll talk about the other one in a minute. But moving on. Asuka versus Nia Jax. Pretty good match. I always seem to like Asuka and Nia in the ring against each other. Couple sloppy spots at the end, but... pretty good. Asuka reversed a powerbomb into a roll-up at the end, and...
retained... don't know how the fuck that happened, but okay.
Yeah. Retained her streak before Nia Jax went and absolutely obliterated her and sent her packing through the barricade. And I mean packing, as in she was pancaked through the barricade. Yeah, any thoughts on Asuka versus Nia?
It lasted a little longer than I thought it should have.
Yeah. It could have ended a couple minutes sooner. I thought it was a good match. I like that. I think to me it's obvious that they're going with Asuka and Charlotte at Mania, and Nia and Alexa. Yeah. So I mean,
they need to. They really need
not
to.
Only do they need to. They yeah. Not only do should they. I mean, they need to. But. Yeah, it was a good way to make Nia still look somewhat strong while Asuka retains her streak. I would have liked Nia tapping out to the armbar or something where it was like no escape, but it was.
But the thing is, I'm really tired of them like not putting over the monsters that they're trying to build. Like, I don't know, Braun Strowman or Nia Jax, who literally are image of themselves in the women's and men's division. Like, they're literally the most dominant figures in there, but yet they don't win as much as they need to.
Yeah,
like, I don't get that.
We'll talk about Braun's booking in the chamber, because I, the more I think about it, the more I hated Braun's booking in the chamber. Yeah. But anyone else? Asuka versus Nia. Otherwise, we'll talk about the worst match on the show.
I think I'm good.
Okay, Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt. This match happened. Worst match on the show. I expected it to be the worst match on the show, and it did not let me down in that regard. Matt Hardy won with a twist of fate because Bray Wyatt cannot win a feud. His last one feud was against Seth Rollins in the summer. If they're heading toward a final deletion match, I'm okay with it. If they're heading toward the great battlefield of Matt Hardy's backyard with King Maxwell and with Rebby and with Senior Benjamin and with Vanguard One, I'm happy with it. But
it better be a fucking Mania, because that'll be bullshit. I'm sorry.
But we need to get away from the in-ring aspect of these two, because Bray Wyatt is not that impressive to me anymore. The more I see him against opponents like Rollins and stuff, the only two guys that have made Bray Wyatt look really fucking good are Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, in my opinion.
Okay, but maybe it's the fact of when they put up. Okay. He's an okay in-ring competitor. Okay, he's not the best, but he's in the upper echelon, being dead-ass honest. If you put him up there with people like Balor and Rollins, of course he's going to look like $1 million. You put him up against Styles, Orton, of course he's going to look absolutely great, even though Orton was just being an asshole during their feud and just said, fuck it, I'm just going to make him look like shit. But still, I mean, him up against your main eventers, he looks good. He looks like a monster when he needs to. He's explosive. He's very psychologically in tone in the ring. Everything he does is with a purpose. But if you put him in silly-ass feuds like this, what the fuck do you expect? exactly the way he was in TNA. TNA, the only thing that people were hanging on to. Here, it's a different ball game, and it's a different pool, or whatever the fuck you say. Whatever the fuck. He's a little minnow in a big-ass thing with people like Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Like, who the fuck is going to pay attention to that shit?
I agree.
I think it was more organic in TNA, too.
It was.
Where it came from.
But,
now it's just forced.
not only that, but the thing is, it wasn't the in-ring stuff that got broken Matt Hardy over. It was the insane fucking shit that he did at his compound and with Brother Nero and with his fucking 2-year-old son pitting Rockstar Spud and all that shit. But I don't know. I don't know if I've soured on Bray Wyatt so much to the point where I just think he doesn't. I don't know, it just seems like he's gotten heavier, he's gotten more lethargic, he's gotten more disinterested, and that could be just to him not having a clear booking decision, and I can definitely see why he just wouldn't give a shit anymore after all he's been through. And this is 1 year off of his WWE Championship win. Almost to the day. Off him pitting John Cena and AJ Styles in the middle of the ring and winning a WWE title. So I don't know, like, the potential of Bray Wyatt being squandered is outstanding to me, but I also think I'm going to have to start blaming him a little bit, because there's more and more times where he just steps in the ring and I just go, well...
I honestly think they're punishing him for the stuff that happened outside the ring, like the stuff with his wife getting publicized, because...
Oh, don't get me wrong. The more I hear about it, the more he does not sound like the greatest human being, but...
yeah. I mean, honestly... you need to get to that dark place to play that kind of character. You gotta be a fucked up person to play that kind of character, being a...
Yeah. He doesn't seem like the greatest guy outside the ring, or...
but I mean, also, about this. You have to think about this. Him being punished for his outside stuff, it's supposed to be like an Undertaker figure.
Yeah.
Next Undertaker. They literally call you the new face of fear. You're supposed to take over that mantle, and you're having stuff on the outside show up, which is breaking absolute kayfabe.
Yeah.
And that's a big ass no-no. So that's also why I think he's getting pushed down the card and, like, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we were well past the Undertaker stage when he lost to the Undertaker, but now when I know he's banging JoJo every night, it's just kind of a disconnect between me and this and the character. It's just kind of weird. I mean, it's different from before someone, like, comments on it and says, oh, well, what about Rusev banging Lana? That's different.
That's different.
That's different. His character's goofy now. He's got a fucking chant. He's got a Rusev Day chant. He's got a Rusev Day calendar. He's not the Bulgarian brute anymore. He's funny, and that's fine. Because it's working for him, but, like, yeah. There's just a disconnect between Bray Wyatt and the fans, right? Right now, and it kind of sucks to see, but I think we spent 10 minutes longer on this topic than we should, so.
I just want to say one more thing. The only way they're going to save Bray Wyatt is if they get the Wyatt family back together.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the only
way. And maybe that's where War Machine could come in and, like, I don't know. If he just gets back to being a cult leader, it'd be perfectly fine, but he's just not. The gimmick he's running right now is a cult leader without a cult, and what's the point? You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. I mean, the fans are basically his cult, because they still love him some fucking how, because they literally light up like...
They had their chance to turn him face, too. After Mania 32, was it Mania 32? Yeah. Was it the night after Mania 32 that he teamed with Roman for that one night, and they were just over as hell?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because
it was Brain Roman. It was the night he
teamed with Roman, right?
Yeah, it was the night he teamed with Roman, and Roman did that little gun. Or the night that Bray did that little gun sign and just told Roman to spear the guy, and he did. It was really fucking awesome. They really worked as this, the enemy of my enemy is my friend thing. But, like, yeah. They missed 14,000 opportunities to turn him face at this point, and I've given up hope. Cesaro and Sheamus versus Titus Worldwide. Okay match. Cesaro and Sheamus win. Apollo looked good, but kind of got booed because this crowd didn't really make sense. This is where the beach balls came in. Actually, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt is where the beach balls came in first, and it was kind of fucking ridiculous. The beach ball topic. The beach ball topic can be saved for another day, though.
I think if they pulled the trigger and made them become champion, that crowd would have popped up a little bit.
Yeah, it would have. I think so. Not that I necessarily want to see Titus O'Neil 40 years old holding a title. It's more I want to see Apollo holding a title like right now. All right.
Or you can't tell me Titus O'Neil is not built like an alien.
Oh, he's built like a fucking brick shithouse, but like...
That man is not normal at all.
Oh, man. All right, so the WWE contract signing for Rowdy Ronda Rousey and a Let's Hope Stephanie Doesn't Somehow Go Over match. A lot of mixed opinions on this as well. I really enjoyed it. I think the mixed opinions came from Ronda starting to cry in the ring, but I really enjoyed that aspect as well. She's a true fan. This is her dream. There's not one aspect of this I hated. Obviously, her mic work was shaky, and it rounded out a lot more on Raw. Kurt Angle was probably the best part of this by about a million and 5 miles.
Kurt Angle.
First of all,
never fell.
Mentioning WrestleMania 31 as WrestleMania 21, which they then edited out on Raw the next night, I noticed. And then Triple H and Steph saying, "Oh, he has the flu. He has a relapse of the flu," which using the word relapse with Kurt Angle isn't the right word to use.
Yeah, I caught that and I was like, "Did they really just say that?" That's a little bit out there, bro. But y'all can't do that.
I went like this, and I was like, "Ooh, why'd you say relapse?" But okay. So anyway, while Kurt Angle was having his relapse of the flu,
what did they just straight up say?
I don't know. I don't.
Hey, Ronda, he's okay. He just had a little coke in the back. He's fine. Still signed the contract. That would have been absolutely. Honestly, that would have been more comedic than saying he got the fucking flu. It's like, who the fuck believes the flu can actually do that?
I think that's part of the joke, though. Like, who the fuck actually believes the flu? It's just like some bullshit excuse. That's why I get funny.
I would have believed.
Speaking of Ebola, now's the time to mention that Ashley was going to be on this show for the Elimination Chamber matches, but she actually has Ebola right now and could not be on tonight. So best wishes to Ashley.
Sorry, bud. I love you, but I'll fuck with Ebola. I can't do it. I'm black as hell. Ebola gonna eat me up. No, I can't do it.
Alright, continue. I'm done. Best wishes to Ashley and best wishes to Ashton on his escape from Ebola.
My escape from Ebola.
Your perennial escape from trying to escape Ebola is what I meant.
Oh boy.
I worded that wrong.
And my people should not run from Ebola. Ebola has taken my ancestors for many generations, and I am so tired of Ebola. Ashton, am tired of... Okay, I'm done. I don't know what to say. Honestly, I don't know what to say.
I worded that wrong, and you turned chicken shit into chicken salad. All right. Kurt Angle had the great lines of saying that Stephanie told me that we own the bitch right now. And, are we going to mention that Stephanie said that you were a has-been? And, Ronda didn't take too kindly to that. She backed Stephanie into the ropes. Triple H came and broke the two up. Stephanie went to the apron. Triple H came back, and I don't know what he was going to do. Was he going to hug Ronda? I don't know. It kind of looked like he was going to hug Ronda, and then Ronda picked him up and slammed him through the table, which was the moment of the night by far. I knew as soon as I saw that ESPN would cream themselves. Stephanie immediately stepped back in the ring and slapped Rhonda, to which Rhonda stared at the ring mat for about a minute. And then she looked back at Stephanie, and then Stephanie got scared and walked out. And then Rhonda signed her contract.
I just have to say this. Rhonda's body language, she spoke a thousand fucking words.
Yeah.
I thought of so many ways that she was going to fuck Stephanie up, but she didn't, and I wanted her to so bad.
Yeah. Don't worry, her words spoke for her the next night on Raw. But yeah, this went from potential train wreck to very good, very fast. So I'm glad they got it on the right track. And honestly, Kurt Angle is a huge part of that by him staring at the mat for 10 minutes and then Ronda asking if he was okay. And then he just relapsed from his flu. Elimination Chamber match. Braun Strowman versus Elias versus Finn Balor versus John Cena versus Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus The Miz. We are not going to Miz New World at WrestleMania. My prediction of The Miz was wrong.
You actually think that shit was going to happen? You actually believe that in your heart, didn't you? I'm so sorry, but your prediction was absolutely out. It was blasphemous.
It was ass.
Oh, damn.
His opinion was ass.
Hey.
Speaking of that. Speaking of ass, that's what the word I would use to describe this match after going back and watching it again.
What? Hold on,
And it's not because of Roman Reigns. Don't get me wrong. I thought the in-ring action was good, but boy, the way they booked this was terrible. Let's start with Braun Strowman eliminating 5 people. Braun Strowman eliminated Elias, Finn Balor, John Cena, Seth Rollins, and The Miz. This was your first problem. Braun Strowman kicked out of about 74,000 finishers during this match. The sequence of the knee into the skull-crushing finale, into the AA, into the coup de grace, should have finished him. Outright. And he kicked out at 2. For Braun to eliminate 5 guys and eventually get eliminated by a spear. And he kicked out of like 2 spears during this match too. But they booked Braun Strowman the wrong way. That 5 combo, the 5 finisher combo should have finished him instead of
him. Was it the wrong way to just be slaughtered by Reigns, or was it the wrong way period?
It was the wrong way period. I don't mind him going on to face Reigns in the final 2 if he doesn't take those 5 finishers and then kicks out, because that just I get it. Make Roman look strong. I understand. And yeah.
No, that's bullshit. That you can't tell me all of that.
I'm not saying this. That's why I'm saying this was booked wrong.
Yeah. Like that. Okay, I can understand where you're coming from.
That's why I'm saying this was booked wrong. For Braun Strowman to take 14 million finishers to eventually face Roman and he ran into a pod. I understand that, but it was ultimately a spear that took him down, and that's. I mean, he kicked out of 2 in the match, but like, at the end, it was really ridiculous that Strowman didn't at least get a running power slam or something on Reigns. Just the way, I don't know. This is how not to book Braun Strowman, okay? Like, you don't book him to, like, ultimately get his ass kicked in the end like this. You know what I mean?
It wasn't really an ass kick. It was just,
a spear. I mean,
yeah, just a spear beat him, and then he, like,
then he killed Roman at the end, which I guess is their way of making it all okay, except it's not. After Monday, I didn't have a problem with Roman winning this match. I didn't have a problem with the way they booked Roman this match. It's the way they booked Braun this match that I have a problem with. And that's really surprising, because they've booked Braun pretty brilliantly the past 11 months. So, I mean, I don't know. As brilliantly as they could a monster, because there's been a lot of monsters they pushed and done wrong with. And Braun is really, really over in a really short amount of time.
Okay. You honestly...
I don't think Sunday was a Roman Reigns problem. I don't think Sunday, the way they booked Roman, was a problem. I think it was the way they booked Braun to eliminate five people was a problem.
Okay, but just think about it this way. Braun to still be that monster that everybody's afraid of. If you were a WWE superstar, and this is absolutely real, that would send chills down your spine whenever you hear that you're facing Braun Strowman. Because he beat Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, John Cena, Elias is not a big name, and The Miz in the same night. All five of them, he pinned all five of them in the elimination chamber.
I can understand where you're coming from that, I guess. I don't know. This match didn't really resonate with me, I guess. I think it's because of the predictable finish. In-ring work was great. Storytelling was pretty decent. I don't know. I didn't resonate with the way Braun was booked this match for some reason. Any other thoughts on the men's chamber? Aaron, Travis...
Nope, not really.
I didn't really like it. I was probably more interested in the women's one than I was the men's, because we knew the outcome for both of them, realistically. Yeah. But, I agree with the Braun Strowman stuff. The way they put, the five finishers should have finished him, and he just kept going.
And yeah.
After one spear, maybe if he would have gotten up after the spear, and Roman hit, one or two yeah. more, I would have believed it, but he just speared him once, and then that was it.
No, he speared him twice.
Did he spear him twice? I kept thinking it was once. Yeah, but more... I think part of what made the Lesnar-Reigns match at Mania 31 pretty good, and I will always maintain that match was fucking great. I will always sit here and say Lesnar-Reigns was great. Part of what made that match great was Lesnar took, two or three spears and just kept getting up, and Roman just... kept hitting him to put the beast down, and the beast kept getting back up. That's how Braun Strowman should have been here. You know, Roman should have just hit four or five of them instead of two.
I still think Elias was really impressive in the match.
I think he was all right.
He was impressive for his first one.
Yeah, I'll go that far. I don't know.
I'm mad that they didn't give him a guitar or his mic. I'm mad that didn't.
Yeah.
I'm also mad at that.
But if you look at the pod, though, he would have kind of been comfortable with it anyways.
All right, I've spent enough time talking about this pay-per-view. I don't know about you guys, but it was an okay show. I've seen worse. I've seen better. Not really the show I wanted to see on the last Raw pay-per-view before Mania, but Raw made up for it in a lot of ways. Monday Night Raw was live from Anaheim, California. It was a very, very good episode of Monday Night Raw. We kicked off with Alexa Bliss and Mickie James making their way to the ring. Alexa talks about how she even manages to amaze herself after winning the Elimination Chamber last night, defying the odds and setting a standard for the women's championship so people will be talking about it for decades. Yeah, she amazed me, too. She gives Mickie credit, though, in that she proved why she was a six-time champion last night. Alexa gives props to Sonya and Mandy and says they have a bright future, just not while she's champion. She calls Bayley a sad situation and says she capitalized on Sasha's massive ego and points at the WrestleMania sign. Alexa says that in 6 weeks she will have her greatest moment when she breaks Asuka's streak the same way Nia broke Asuka through the barricade at the chamber. Asuka comes out to confront Alexa and tells her that everyone knows she isn't at 100% and that Nia deserves to be in the title match at WrestleMania. Alexa mocks Asuka's English skills and patronizes to her and warns her to wipe the smile off her face when Nia Jax comes out. Asuka is able to take out Mickie and Asuka but is taken out by Nia. Asuka gets a choke on Nia but is beat down by Mickie and Alexa until Sasha and Bayley make the save, where Alexa and Nia are able to get the upper hand, stand tall, and leave, which led us to a six-woman tag match to start off the show. Asuka, Sasha Banks, and Bayley versus Mickie James, Alexa Bliss, and Nia Jax. Big big moment from this match, Sasha Banks was in. Bayley was begging for a tag on the apron. And when Banks went to leap for the tag, Bayley dropped off the apron and walked up the ramp. However, when Asuka was in the ring afterwards, Bayley came in and broke up a pinfall that would have ended Asuka's streak. So Bayley did not tag in for Banks, but she saved Asuka. So that was some pretty good storytelling, if you ask me. Eventually, Asuka locked in the Asuka lock on Mickey James, made her tap, and that was that. John Cena comes out to discuss his path to WrestleMania. He straight out says that he failed Sunday. He failed and felt demoralized once a microphone was pushed into his face on Raw Talk. He says times like this are when people are truly put to the test, and this time is now. He only spent 5 minutes feeling sorry for himself, but he immediately began to figure things out. Even though he failed at the Rumble and the Elimination Chamber, he isn't giving up, just like he hasn't given up the past 16 years.
He's only John Cena. Like, they're literally going to leave him off the WrestleMania card. Like, that shit is actually believable. But okay.
On that thought. Right there. I want them to actually leave him off the card so that every single person that says, oh, this isn't a believable, John Cena won't be off the card. And then WrestleMania comes and John Cena's off the card, and then everyone goes, well, shit. I want that. I want Cena to fail making it to WrestleMania. No Taker, no Lance Storm or EC3 like I saw on Twitter. No nothing. No Mysterio like fucking hack Justin Barrasso in Sports Illustrated is saying. No nothing. Just John Cena watching backstage and catering at WrestleMania is what I want.
That would be great, honestly.
I want a split screen. I want a split screen. One half is the ring and whatever's going on in the ring, and the other half is John Cena and catering watching with just the sullenest look on his face. That's what I want for WrestleMania. I would be very sports entertained.
I mean, honestly, that's never gonna happen in a million years ever.
This is just me throwing out shit. I mean, I just want this to happen so that everyone that says, "Oh, this isn't gonna happen," actually happens. You know what I mean? Oh, Cena.
I'm too much of a person to want to see Cena versus Taker so much. So I honestly don't want that to happen at all. So I mean,
and maybe the 9 o'clock hour comes and Cena's actually crying on the other side, and then Taker walks up to him and says, "Let's have a match, pal." Imagine that shit. Imagine that shit, bro. Ratings through the roof, bro.
Oh my god.
Don't you start that shit.
Put Michelle McCool on a pole, bro.
Oh, yeah. Moving on.
Oh, why aren't we putting Nikki Bella on a pole? She's been on too many already.
Woo!
Jesus Christ.
Even though John Cena failed at the Rumble in the Elimination Chamber, he isn't giving up. No one else would stand in the middle of the ring. No one else would stand in the middle of the ring and own up to their failures because it is all on you. Cena says he got back up.
I guess I gave up.
Cena says he got back up because he figured out what he needed to do, and that was to put out a WrestleMania challenge to The Undertaker. The crowd pops huge. However, he comes back and was told that match will not happen because that match is impossible and that everyone in the crowd just felt his disappointment.
That was awesome.
I loved it. That was the most heel John Cena has been since 2003, and I absolutely loved it.
That wasn't heel John Cena. You know that for a fact.
No, it wasn't heel John Cena. It was the most heelish thing he said since 2003. Like, you just felt the disappointment I do, you sad fucks. So instead, John Cena's road to WrestleMania will go through SmackDown, and he will be there on Tuesday to earn his road to WrestleMania. We got Bray Wyatt, who came out for a match against Heath Slater, but just beats him up in Rhino before the match can begin, goes into a trance and delivers Sister Abigail to Heath. Bray gets a mic and says that Matt Hardy made him hurt these men and that the Great War is not over. He says that the next time they face off, he will close Matt's eyes forever, and I will close my eyes to this feud forever. The Intercontinental Champion, The Miz, comes out to learn who his WrestleMania opponent will be. He scoffs at
Matt. Close my eyes on this damn feud. That's what we need to do.
Yeah. He scoffs at Anaheim being a stop on the road to WrestleMania rather than a worthy city like LA, but he expects nothing less from Kurt Angle, who takes his stars for granted. In 62 days, The Miz will be the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. Yet as great as he is in the ring, he's even better out of it, starring in The Marine and Miz and Mrs. Yet despite all this, he is treated terribly with no merchandise, he's not on the posters, and he's not main eventing WrestleMania like he did at 27. But because Kurt Angle forced him to start the chamber with people who didn't deserve to be in the match, Seth and Finn, he says he doesn't care about the other competitors in the Elimination Chamber because he is the Intercontinental Champion and has a guaranteed spot at WrestleMania. He went to Angle's office before and asked who he is facing at Mania, to which Angle told him that his opponent tonight might determine his opponent at WrestleMania. Miz goes on a rant about deserving respect for making the IC title prestigious and the most important title in Raw, and promises whoever comes out to face him. Seth Rollins, Monday Night Rollins, comes out to face The Miz. Very good match, continuing the string of very good Miz matches and very good Rollins matches as of late on this show. Seth Rollins would go on to hit the most insane frog splash I've seen in at least 10 years. I lied. The most insane frog splash I've seen in the last 10 years was Kevin Owens delivering one to Vince McMahon, because I never thought I'd say that in my life.
Okay, it was the most athletic.
Athletic will be the word we go with. He went three-fourths across the ring and delivered a frog splash and pinned The Miz. Rollins got to celebrate his victory for 2 seconds before Finn Balor's music hit. Balor walks in, Rollins looks pissed that Balor's here, and Finn Balor got to face The Miz. Not as good of a match as the Rollins one, but it was still a very good match. Coup de grace, and the Intercontinental Champion is 0-2 as Rollins and Balor both pin him.
Is it me, or did anybody want to hear Braun, and then just Braun comes out and destroys him even more?
Oh, I would have loved that.
Yeah.
Like, you just knew there was no way Miz was going to win this match. Like, oh.
Out next was Roman Reigns coming out and shooting from the hip, brother. He comes out and says,
oh my god.
No. Give the man the benefit of the doubt. Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead, tell the story. Go ahead.
Roman Reigns comes out and says he is a man of his word, and he proved this by winning the Elimination Chamber last night, and he intends on keeping his word again. And he intends on keeping his word again by beating Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. He says the truth is that Brock Lesnar isn't there tonight because he called in a half hour before Roman Reigns' promo and said he wasn't going to be there, and people in the back didn't want to admit it. Roman says that Lesnar's entitled and hides behind his contract. Even last night, Brock was in Las Vegas, which was true. He was in Vegas during the chamber, running around with Dana White in the UFC during UFC Fight Night, rather than show up to the show because he doesn't respect them, the fans, or the company. The roster shows up every night, busting their ass, while Brock only comes when the money or the time is right. Roman said he was born in this business and knows there's a fine line between business and respect. He doesn't respect Lesnar, and he sure doesn't fear his bitch ass. Roman says that he said all he wanted, so he'll go to the back and take his ass chewing like a man because he respects this place. Roman Reigns cut the promo of his career Monday night, and some people who didn't think it was a promo of his career easily thought it was a top three promo of his career. Before I say what I want to say, does anyone else want to say anything about the Reigns promo?
What was the other two promos?
Probably the John Cena one, and I know.
Oh yeah.
I know people also lump in the "This is my yard" after Mania, even though it wasn't really a promo, but it was just Roman Reigns coming out and being cocky as shit.
John Cena promo was really good. I forgot about that one.
So, anyone else, because I got something to say after.
Honestly, I'm one of the biggest Roman haters. Like, I'm a big hater, and I watched it back. I didn't watch Raw, but I watched the promo, and it was actually really good, and it made me get some respect for him. Not a lot, but yeah, it was pretty good.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
I'm giving that a standing ovation. I'm never gonna hear another word like that out of Travis's mouth again. So I'll appreciate it.
Travis.
This is true. I mean, the Roman thing is really good. I'm not gonna lie. That's the only one I'll ever. The Cena one I watched back a couple times. I'm not gonna lie. The Cena one was actually good.
Yeah.
I will say Roman did a good job. He. I want to watch this match now, even though I have to now give Matt his props. I think Styles and Nakamura is as big as Brock and Roman right now, and I don't know why. Probably because of the shit booking Road Dogg is doing to SmackDown.
Oh, shit. I can't wait for my Fastlane predictions. I forgot about that. Oh, here we go. I can't wait.
The fact of, I really don't think AJ and Nakamura is as big right now as Brock versus Roman. It just feels like a bigger match, and it feels like it should be in the main event, which is a big fucking step for me because I really don't want it to be the main event. I feel like AJ versus Nakamura would be an absolute classic, but you know this is the main roster, and if you don't have a story leading up to absolutely have every audience member wanting to see them tear each other apart, there's no point. You can't have the WWE title match there. WrestleMania feel like about like Nakamura versus Zayn where there's nothing really there, but it's a great match. It can't be that. Has to be storytelling. Has to be a reason why this match is happening. Obviously, Nakamura wins the Rumble. That's a reason. But there has to be a story behind it. And you don't have a fucking story behind it right now. Even though it should be AJ versus Nakamura. I feel like Road Dogg is going to be a bitch. Get us in that spot. Which is going to be absolutely fucking blasphemy, is going to be fucking retarded, and it's going to make me absolutely want to really assassinate him. There's no fucking way it should be AJ and Nakamura being this way right now. Even though Fastlane is a very big obstacle for Styles, it should not feel like AJ might not win this match. AJ has literally gone through the ringer the past month. He literally has. He went through whatever fucking it was with Owens and Zayn. That was a good feud. It was entertaining, cool. It played in the Shane and Owens and all that, cool. That's fine. But this is the WWE Championship we're talking about. The WWE title. The staple of this whole fucking company. And I feel like that title is such a big joke right now. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's no reason I should have the word joke and WWE title in the same fucking sentence. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. This feud is not even on the same level as Brock and Roman. And Brock and Roman have absolutely been on just 1 week. It's literally been 1 week or just a week that this absolutely fucking rivalry has been there, and it feels way bigger than Styles versus Nakamura, and it's ridiculous. They should really fire this man.
They should have already started building Shinsuke and AJ somewhat, you know, in between the lines at least, but dang, they don't have anything.
Yeah. We're gonna hop into Fastlane predictions here in a couple minutes because Travis has gotta go, so, I just want to say my piece here. There's a really stupid take that I've been seeing. Really, really stupid take that I've been seeing over the past couple days. And it's that they purposely held Paul and Brock back so that Roman could get over on Monday night. No fucking shit, really? How dare they fuck with your emotions to get this man over? Just that kind of thinking is so goddamn dumb to me. If it resonates with you, how about taking the time to enjoy the promo instead of creating some Facebook thread or some Reddit thread or some Twitter thread for the 7,000 goddamn time saying, oh, they won't be able to buy Roman over with me because of one work shoot promo. If it's a good promo, fucking enjoy it. You know what I mean? How dare they try to get the face of the company over? You know what I mean? How dare they? How dare they have something that works? How dare they find something that works? This really fucking stupid take that I've been seeing that Paul and Brock getting held out of Raw so that Roman could get over his bullshit. That's the fucking point. Get the new face of the company over. Is that not what we've been hoping for the past 4 years? Is for them to find a way to get Roman over? For them to find a way to make Roman enjoyable? So that we don't have to sit through bullshit? Someone argue with me on this. I want someone to argue with me on this.
What'd you say, Charlie?
Because don't get me wrong, he's still very boring. Like, I'm not interested in watching his matches. But
I can't say that. Roman has stepped up his game all the way. I'm sorry. He knows it's go time now. If he doesn't get this right, if he does not get over by this Mania, it's over. There's no way they can continue with this bullshit. They have to get him over at this Mania. If it doesn't happen, they need to put somebody else in that position and start positioning them in that. Because Roman has been given chance after chance after chance, and he hasn't gotten it over yet. Because he was force-fed to us. That is a fact. But at this point, the fans are starting to be like, okay, maybe we should just stop and let it get over, and maybe it'll be okay. Like, we're literally starting to give up now. Like, it's been a 4-year battle, and we're starting to give up. We literally are. We're like, okay, maybe we should give him a chance. Maybe Brock versus him too will be actually good.
Okay.
But if they don't get it over this time, if it does not happen this time, they have to give up on Roman Reigns and just have him as a main eventer. He's not the face of the company. It should not. If it doesn't work, just fucking give up on him. Like, I want it to happen now. Matt is right. It has to happen now because we're tired of seeing this battle over and over again. The fans have voiced their opinion many times over. They wanted Rollins. They wanted Balor. They gave it to him, and Rollins got hurt, even though I feel like Rollins would have took it over if he would have got to Mania 32 with the title. I feel like it would have been over for Roman there and then. But it didn't happen. And Roman has gotten chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity, and he's just been lucky as shit to have this opportunity now.
I agree with...
It has to work this time. It has to. There's no way.
See, here's the thing. I agree with both of you. I agree with your point, Ashley. I agree with Travis. There are still going to be people that think Roman is boring as shit, and that's okay. I think Zack Ryder is boring as shit. I don't see the appeal of Zack Ryder. When he won the IC title at WrestleMania, my eyes rolled out of their socket. But I was happy for the people who like him. I was happy he got his moment. This is a dude that's beaten cancer, you know? I'm happy the dude got his moment. That still doesn't mean I gotta fucking like him. There's gonna be people that don't like Roman Reigns. It's just this idea of thinking that, how dare they try to get this man over for the 1,000th fucking time? How dare this actually work for once? I'm not going to let it work. Why not? Why won't you take off your rose-colored glasses and let something work? If he does something good, it's better to acknowledge it than to just beat yourself in the dick over it and say, oh, God damn it wasn't good at all.
You want to know why? Because he beat Taker.
And there's people like that. There's people like you. And I understand that. If you have Undertaker as your all-time favorite, I have another friend who has Undertaker as all-time favorite. He's always going to be pissed with Roman.
Yeah.
And there's going to be people who are going to be pissed with Brock.
He's literally the GOAT for everybody, though. He literally is. Like, everybody calls Undertaker the greatest character of all time. They call him one of the best wrestlers of all time, period, and the WWE and worldwide. Because he is. And then you feed him to Roman Reigns, and then Roman Reigns gets to lose to people like The Miz. Like, are you serious?
I agree with that.
If you're going to actually do this, do it the right way. And they're not doing it the right way.
Because I agree with that, too.
It hasn't worked until now.
They didn't. Every time they cool down Roman Reigns, it bothers me, too. Every time they try to push him down to the mid-card, it just doesn't work with me. Just don't push him down to the mid-card. Just give him something meaningful. Give him something to work with up top. Because you're not. You're giving them suffering succotash, and you're giving them the giant beanstalk promos, and you're giving them the Big Show, and you're giving... And hell, he even managed to make the Big Show work. Dave Meltzer gave their Last Man Standing match 4 stars. Who else is going to get 4 stars out of the fucking Big Show nowadays?
He got 4 stars for that?
Yes. Back at Extreme Rules a few years ago.
Ow. See, that's a testament to exactly why I really think this should be over now. He really should be just fucking over now. Because he's proven himself as an in-ring competitor. He's vicious, he's malicious when he needs to, but he's also triumphant when he needs to.
You know, I figured it out. I said this to a friend the other day. The exact moment that CM Punk said the words, "Make Roman look strong" on Colt Cabana's podcast, I knew this was dead in the water. Everything lined up perfectly. Daniel Bryan not coming back in the Rumble, even though he was healthy. And then CM Punk burnt out, arrogant, not exactly arrogant, just a burnt out, beat out, a man who has a lot of grievances, and CM Punk saying, make Roman look strong. I knew this was going to be the backlash the minute that got said.
And it hasn't let go into it. Like, it's...
But more, it's starting more promos like Monday. Give him something to work with, and people like him. He got cheered heading out of the arena on Monday. You know when the last time he got fucking cheered heading out of the arena was? When he beat Sheamus. And everyone gets cheered beating Sheamus.
How the fuck they did that? Honestly, I don't know how the fuck he got cheered for that, but he did. And I actually cheered when he won the fucking match. And I don't know why.
Probably he got thank you Roman chants in Philly, the same place that booed The Rock when he held his hand up.
This is my point.
They're so hot and cold on his booking. It's so bad and so good, and it just fucks with them.
And to be over with. If you're going to do it right, do it right.
Yeah.
Like, I think the point that we have seen is that when you let Roman get absolutely real, because of the way the world is today, nothing gets out, but nothing happens without us knowing before. We knew Undertaker was coming back last year. We knew that he was going to face Roman. We knew that before he even showed up on Raw. It isn't like back in the day where if somebody shows up, it's an absolute shocker. Holy shit, where the fuck did this come from? It's not like that anymore. If you let the realism of today's society show up on wrestling, and I'm sorry, somehow let kayfabe sit in the back seat with Roman, you'll see that it's absolutely true that Roman is the face of the company. If you let that realism absolutely show with Roman Reigns and let him have his own promos and prove to the fans that he can absolutely be a Smark's absolute dream, then it'll work. But they're trying to keep kayfabe. They're trying to have all these elements of back in the day wrestling, which is fucking ridiculous. Like, stop having them kick out of 50 fucking finishers. Jesus, that didn't work with John Cena. And you see Cena's getting beaten now because everybody likes Cena now, because he's a real wrestler. They see that he can actually fucking lose sometimes. That's why he's absolutely in the position that he's in today. They love Cena because he said, fuck it. He said, if you want me to act this way, if you want me to stop acting this way, fine. I'm going to be true to the fans. I'm going to give the fans what they want, even if it's not what the fans want at the time. I'm going to make it enjoyable as fuck as it is for them, even though they're in a suck-ass position of me having to face the Miz, even though it was him last year. It was him because of the Nikki Bella engagement thing, which is cool. That's him. But it proves to a point that if you let top talent that the world is today and stop having to hang on to your morals, Vince McMahon, and stop hanging on to your fucking ego, Vince McMahon, and you let the person that you want to be the fucking man be the man the way that he needs to be in today's society, then you will get exactly what the fuck you want. But until then, you're still going to be stuck in this dumbass position of him getting booed. And if this happens at Mania, listen, Vince McMahon, don't even think about it anymore. Go to the XFL, do whatever the fuck you want to do, leave wrestling alone. Because if you still fuck this up at 34, and you started this journey at WrestleMania 31, you should stop being showrunner. Stop being CEO, stop being all that. It's right now. You should have stopped. I'm sorry. You should just give up. Resign, sit the fuck back, enjoy your golden years. Because you obviously don't get today's wrestling society. You don't see that the internet is a very big part of this. And you don't care that let somebody who does, like Triple H, who has proven time and time again that he can be an absolute great booker and can put on five-star matches when you haven't had a five-star match in 5 years. I'm pissed. I'm sorry. I'm done.
More of what I see on Monday, and Roman Reigns will be over. I am going to make the guarantee right now that Roman Reigns is walking into Mania getting cheered. They've set the table for Brock Lesnar leaving again for the UFC, and Roman Reigns wanting to stick around, wanting to hold this title, wanting to be the guy. More promos like that in the 5 weeks leading up to Mania, and I think he will be cheered heading into that show. And the people that do boo him are the people who are booing him out of a Pavlovian condition at this point of wanting, of just hearing that first beat of the drum in the song and then booing him. Okay, I think we're gonna have the subtitle of this episode be the
real quick. I want to add something to the Roman thing. Hello.
Yeah, go for it. You're here. Don't worry, I'm listening.
Anyway, they need to. Again, as a hater, I get how they're building him and stuff. They need to stop focusing on WrestleMania. Because they build him towards WrestleMania, then after it just dies down and dies down. And then around January, they start building it back up again.
Yep.
Use other pay-per-views. The reason all these pay-per-views are getting low ratings, you have to have good stories. Stop using same stories and matches over and over and over.
I'm going to definitely agree there. The core
make a Roman main event at, I don't know, Hell in a Cell for the championship.
I agree.
Not WrestleMania.
I agree. The Roman coronation needed to end, and this coronation of the past 4 years needs to end, and that certainly hasn't. It certainly hindered things more than it's helped. Setting things up for Mania season for Roman to be main eventing again has been ridiculous, and I agree. But yeah, I'm gonna be putting up the title of this podcast as a real Roman Reigns discussion because this is what it's turned to the past half hour, and I think we needed to have this discussion. Because after Monday, when he did a very good promo, here we are now. Like, still discussing whether he should be the man or not. And I think, who knows? We'll see what happens next Monday. If he's going to come out and do another work shoot, that's great. If he's going to come out and do Jack the Beanstalk against Roman or against Brock and Paul, we got a fucking problem. So we'll just see how next Monday goes. To finish out Raw here, we'll talk about The Bar beat Titus Worldwide, 2 falls to nothing, a 2 out of 3 falls match with tag team titles, nothing match. Braun versus Elias, Braun Strowman won via DQ after Elias picked a fire extinguisher up from underneath the ring and sprayed Braun with it. And then we got the main event of Triple H and Stephanie coming out to clear the air with Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey immediately comes out to the ring and stomps away and gets Triple H and Stephanie to leave the ring. Kurt Angle comes out and tells her that coming to the WWE is the best decision she's made. Rousey interrupts him, saying she's never been slapped like she was last night and that she is no one's property. Angle tries to reason with her, saying that his job is on the line and that he lied last night. He can't explain why he lied and tried to blame it on his relapse of flu and apologizes to Stephanie and Triple H. Stephanie tries to suck up to Ronda and put the incident behind them. Ronda says they addressed everything except the slap and demands Stephanie to apologize to her or else her arm will be ripped out of its socket. Stephanie deeply apologizes multiple times and welcomes Ronda to the WWE before leaving the ring. And as Triple H leaves, he cold clocks Kurt Angle and makes his way up the ramp with Stephanie. That was Monday Night Raw.
Ronda stood there like an idiot while Kurt got punched. She didn't try to, like, even just charge at them or like, she just stood there punched.
Yeah, I agree. But the thing is, this is why they should have done a pedigree. So that Ronda could at least try to make an attempt to stop him. Instead of just looking there stupid after a punch and then staring and looking at him stupid. Like,
it's like what Kurt did when Triple H pedigreed Jason Jordan. He just stood there.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Hey, come on, like, you try to stop it.
Yeah. But the picture we got of it of Kurt Angle staring up the sky with thing while Triple H cold clocks him is the picture that I enjoy the most past week, so it's worth it. All right, let's do Fastlane predictions real quick so we can get Travis out of here, and then we'll talk about the rest of the shows from the week. Only 4 matches to talk about, so we're good. If anything else gets added, that's a shame. We'll go with as of right now. As of right now, the matches that are right now, barring any additions, we won't talk about the Bludgeon Brothers getting into the tag match somehow or Jinder Mahal in the U.S. title match somehow. We'll just talk about right now if the matches were to take place as they were today. So, singles match for the SmackDown Women's Championship, Charlotte Flair versus Ruby Riott. Predictions and why are they Charlotte? Let's start with Travis.
Well, why are they Charlotte? Because they're clearly going with Asuka versus Charlotte, and if they were to, some stupid reason, drop that and make it Ruby Riott versus Asuka, I would not. No. Charlotte.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Ruby Riott, come on. My prediction, Charlotte.
All right, Ashton, I know you're still recovering, but is Ashton still recovering? He's still recovering from his rant, so we will continue to do these without Ashton, it looks like, for the foreseeable future. The Usos versus the New Day. As of right now, if you had to make a prediction between the Usos and the New Day, Travis, prediction.
Okay, so I know we said we're not going to talk about potential people being added, but honestly, I think the Usos are going to win if the match happens. I feel like maybe it might not happen due to the Bludgeon Brothers attacking them both, but them being added. But I think either way, whatever situation happens, I think the Usos retain it until Mania, then lose them at Mania.
Yeah, that's my prediction as well. Aaron?
Yep, I agree. Fully 100% agree.
Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton for the United States Championship. Aaron.
Roode.
Travis.
This has the potential to be a really good match, but I feel like they're going to drop the ball. And again, we said we're not talking about it, but I feel like they're going to add Jinder, and we really don't want another Jinder title reign. I don't care if it's a mid-card title or not. Just please, Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton, that feud is okay. We don't want Jinder added to it. Please, just I choose Bobby Roode.
Because we know what's going to happen if the U.S. title gets on Jinder. He's going to do the typical
bashing the United States thing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Bobby either way. Even if Jinder gets added, I'll just go with Bobby Roode. An update on Ashton, his computer shut off after the pure fire he spit. I wish he was here because I'm about to make my prediction for the six-pack challenge for the WWE Championship. AJ Styles as the defending champion against John Cena, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Baron Corbin, and Dolph Ziggler. Who is winning the six-pack challenge, Aaron?
Oh, probably AJ.
Travis.
Well, before I say my prediction, if you say Baron Corbin, I'm leaving now. So, I don't think you're going to say Baron Corbin. I mean, I hope you're not. You might say Dolph, but I think AJ, obviously, because AJ versus Nakamura is a dream match, and we really want that. But if they for some reason.
Unless they make him lose it and then turn around and make him win it back.
God damn it, what
a waste.
God damn it. Aaron just stole my prediction. My prediction is Dolph Ziggler is winning the WWE Championship at Fastlane, and the week before Mania, the Tuesday before Mania, it's going to be Styles versus Ziggler in a title match where Styles wins it back, just to add suspense, because right now the story of Styles and Nakamura, like Ashton said earlier, is zip. The story of Styles and Nakamura is Shinsuke Nakamura in his Japanese accent going, "I'm going to beat you at WrestleMania," backstage a bunch of times. So, they need something. I'm not saying Styles won't retain, because I think there's a chance he will, but as soon as I saw Ziggler added into this match, I thought immediately they're going to have him win it, and then they're going to have Styles win it back before Mania. Dolph Ziggler is going to win the WWE Championship at Fastlane, in my opinion. And this isn't even Sonya Deville and The Miz. If you couldn't tell last week, I was shooting the piss when I said Deville and The Miz. This is my actual prediction. This is me saying Dolph Ziggler is going to win the fucking WWE Championship at Fastlane.
I completely 100% see it.
Like, honestly, if it happened, I wouldn't be mad as long as the endgame is Styles versus Nakamura.
Yes, and I truly believe that's their endgame, and I truly believe Styles would win the title back, the SmackDown before Mania. They're going to build up the suspense as much as possible, to me. It's just that there's no story to Styles and Nakamura right now. They're holding Nakamura off SmackDown, and that's just why I think that they're going to do a title change to, like, hotshot a feud here or something. I don't know. That's
Dolph
just how I see it.
Versus AJ will steal the show.
Yeah, I think Dolph and AJ can have a very good match for the title.
Holy crap.
Like, if we think about it, though, AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura, it really doesn't need a story. It's going to be that good of a match.
No.
Do you really think it needs a good story, though?
I think it does. to the casual fan. The thing about WrestleMania is it's appealed more to the casual fan than the hardcore fan. And this is their answer to the hardcore fan base, is like, we're giving you Reigns and Lesnar, so we're going to give you Styles and Nakamura just to offset it. But I think there still should be a little bit of a story there, and I think this is a better way to get the title onto Nakamura. You can easily go ahead and say Styles just had to go through a grueling match to win the title 5 nights before Mania, and then Nakamura knees him in the fucking face and then wins. You know, I think it's easier to say that. Because Nakamura is a guy who's, lost to Jinder, even though they were both 30, but, it happened, and we can't just ignore that.
Should Styles go heel?
I like Styles more as a heel.
Better in style as a heel. It does.
Did you forget? He missed my prediction. My prediction once more for Ashton, who missed it, is Dolph Ziggler winning the WWE Championship at Fastlane and then dropping the title to AJ Styles on the SmackDown before WrestleMania.
What the fuck?
It's amazing. Just leave it at that. It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna work out.
Wait, hold on. It doesn't sound like a bad idea, but it doesn't make sense to do that right now.
I don't think it makes sense, but it, like I was telling these two, it creates, like I said, there's no story hidden in this match. You said it perfectly yourself. There's no story. And Mania appeals to the casual fan, and the casual fan is going to go, well, why should I care about two Japanese wrestlers going at it without a story?
AJ's not Japanese, but okay.
Two wrestlers from New Japan.
I'm sorry. Okay, there we go.
So what I think could happen is they could play the route of Styles going through a grueling match with Ziggler 5 nights before WrestleMania, and then Nakamura knees him in the fucking face after a great match at Mania to win the title.
Are you just is this the point of you trying to?
I'm not even shooting the shit like I was with Sonya and the Miz, and I just admitted to them I was shooting the shit with those two. This is my actual thing.
I mean, it could work. It can make people tune in to SmackDown and see what happens. I mean, for viewers, but
I'm not saying there isn't a chance that AJ doesn't walk out champ. I think this Ziggler thing is about as 50-50 as Styles retaining. You know what I mean? That's just how I think it will go down.
And there has been title changes on SmackDown before, so it's not like...
Yeah, we just had one SmackDown in the UK where Mahal lost the title to AJ, and AJ's held it since then,
So, I want to add one more thing. You know how you said the Dolph winning the title? They could do, maybe... I'm not going to say Sami Zayn. I'm going to say Kevin Owens could win, and held it till before Mania, and maybe Sami...
That's a good one.
Screws him out of the title, and that leads to that match that's rumored at Mania.
That's a good one. I like that. I haven't heard too much long routes of Owens and Zayn as much as I thought I would be. As soon as I saw him paired up, I was like, oh, instant Mania match. And I just haven't heard too much about those two facing each other at Mania. I haven't seen too much on the sheets. I haven't heard too much personally. So I don't know if that's still their plan or not. I think if it is, it's getting into a stacked Mania card as it is. But, yeah, that could work, I think.
If it does happen, I think Zayn should be the one to turn.
Yeah.
I'm tired of
Zayn needs to go babyface. And Owen should go babyface at some point, too. But I don't know. Sammy is this anti-authority figure, doesn't work with me.
No, it's he's acting too goofy, and it doesn't work.
In fact, Owens and Zayn both as an anti-authority figure doesn't work with me.
Can I just say this, though? It's a shame that there's many matches on Raw that you want to see at Mania, but there's only one match on SmackDown that you want to see on Mania. Yeah. There's only one.
Yeah.
It's Banks versus Bayley, Rollins versus Miz, or Balor versus Rollins versus Miz for the IC title, or Ronda versus the Authority, and Brock versus Roman, and then there's only one SmackDown show, SmackDown match that's absolutely going to be there, and it's the only one that people care about. Nobody else cares about any other SmackDown match at Mania.
I agree with you. But before we get on a Road Dogg bashing fest here, I said this in the chat earlier. I want to thank Road Dogg. Kane was on Talk Is Jericho today, and he said Road Dogg created and wrote the Team Hell No segments. And if that was the man who was behind Team Hell No, I want to give it up for Old Dog. Right here. I'm giving it up for Old Dog. Team Hell No was my favorite thing forever.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. But you want a whole Team Hell No type of SmackDown? That's what you want?
No. Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. I just wanted to give them props for that before we got into it. Okay, that was our Fastlane prediction. Obviously, kind of had to shoehorn in. Let's talk about SmackDown. Obviously, some SmackDown spoilers came during the Fastlane preview. Very basic stuff, because we're already an hour and 15 into the show when I said we shouldn't be, but here we are. The Roman Reigns discussion got real. John Cena was out to open the show, and he wants in the five-way Fastlane for the belt. Shane...
You know, I can give two shits of how long this thing goes. It's going to go as long as I want it to go.
I'm the one pressing the record button, buddy.
Just saying, like, it's going to go as long as I want it to go, so you can just go fuck yourself.
Uh-huh. Shane comes out, as does Daniel Bryan, and both men are in agreement for once and say that if Cena beats AJ Styles, he earns his place into the title match of Fastlane. We had Baron Corbin versus Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens was at ringside, kind of got involved. Baron Corbin defeats Sami Zayn with the End of Days. Ruby Riott defeats Naomi. This is where we got the news that Ruby Riott and Charlotte was happening at Fastlane. Backstage promo between New Day, Breezango, and Minot, North Dakota's own Josh Demel. Shout out to my boy Josh. One love, baby. Josh is investigating the death of Big E Smalls on the new USA Network show, which the Fashion Police confuses Big E Langston. Big E drops some bars, thus confirming he is a great rapper. New Day out next. New Day say at Fastlane they take on their greatest rivals ever, the Usos. New Day say they will be in New Orleans twerking and swiveling hips. Out come the Usos. Usos say New Day is right. They did go to war, but the Usos were left standing tall every single time. Usos say they were like the New Day, having fun and wearing rainbow colors and wearing face paint, but it didn't get them anywhere. The Usos point out they haven't been on WrestleMania, and they say they have been sidelined time and time again when this year they're at the goal line. Big E says the New Day have been on top for a long time. They pointed out they hosted Mania last year while the Usos were eating catering, and they didn't make it here because of their daddies. Out next is the Bludgeon Brothers as the Usos and New Day both exit the ring as Harper and Rowan enter. Dolph Ziggler cuts a promo, says basically he will win, and that's the reality. And I truly do believe that's the reality. Bobby Roode backstage interview. He says he wants to prove
it. But that's reality.
Brock Lesnar, in the words of Brock Lesnar, reality is I kicked your ass Sunday. Bobby Roode backstage interview. He says he wants to prove he's the best, and to do that, he must beat Randy Orton. Randy Orton comes in and says he will run through Bobby Roode at Fastlane. Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Aiden English. John Cena and AJ Styles had another great match in the book of Cena and Styles matches. Probably the weakest of the four, but still a very, very good match. And AJ Styles came out of this looking like Superman. Had to go through four AAs, one of them being through the announce table. And there was this really cool spot where after he went through the announce table, AJ used a fan in the audience. A fan in the audience was reaching his hand down, and AJ grabbed that hand and then used it to help him up, and then the fan let go, and then Styles fell down. It was really fucking funny. So John Cena is now inserted into the title match Fastlane. Post-match, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn come out. While Cena is distracted, Baron Corbin jumps in from behind, where Owens, Sami, and Corbin beat up AJ and Cena until Dolph Ziggler comes out, super kicks Owens, Zayn, and Corbin. Ziggler, AJ, and Cena stand tall until Ziggler gives AJ a super kick, and then John Cena gives Ziggler an AA and stands tall to end SmackDown. Good show. Much better show than what I've been seeing the past few weeks, so I don't have to rant about SmackDown this week, so good for me. Finn Balor and Sasha Banks versus The Miz and Asuka in the Mixed Match Challenge Round 2 matchup. Good match. Everyone was going kind of slow, because Miz and Balor have been working. Miz, Balor, Asuka, and Banks have worked extremely hard over the course of the Sunday and Monday, so this was kind of their chill match. Very cool finish. Banks had Asuka in the bank statement, while Finn Balor had the Miz in a crossface. While Banks had Alexa in the bank statement, Miz reversed reversed the crossface into roll up and rolled up Finn Balor for the victory. So the Miz and Asuka moved on to the semifinals. 205 Live.
Oh, Jesus, here we go.
Do you have something to say for 205 Live?
I have something to say, period, all the time, but I'm just tired of hearing your voice. So.
Cedric Alexander versus TJP. He's settled down. The host is talking now. Cedric Alexander versus TJP. Very good match. Probably one of my top three favorites of the tournament so far. Alexander defeated TJP with the lumbar kick.
Are you fucking smart?
You're really fucking pushing it, aren't you, buddy? Really fucking pushing it. Alexander defeated
pushing,
pushing it.
I really want to see what I'm pushing,
man.
I really want to see.
I'm gonna be pushing the kick button here in 2 seconds if you don't shut your mouth. Roderick Strong versus Kalisto. Good match. Not as good as Alexander and TJP. They got sloppy at the end. Roddy won with a beautiful backbreaker into an end-up heartache combo. It was really cool, but yeah. Good show. Next week's matchups are Buddy Murphy versus Mustafa Ali. And another match I'm now forgetting off the top of my head. Shit.
I'm sure you are.
You fuck. Aaron?
What?
Tell your boy to settle down.
I think I want to see Matt versus Zashin.
I think you want to shut the fuck up.
You don't want to see that. I promise you it's going to look like a Brock Lesnar match.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, he only wishes.
That's the funniest shit I've heard all day.
Oh, that's the funniest shit I've heard all day. Fox Sports was at... Fox Sports executives were at SmackDown Live Tuesday, including Colin Cowshit, a.k.a. Colin Cowherd. Fox is reportedly making a major push at landing WWE program with their current broadcast reels deal, or their current broadcast rights deal coming to an end early in 2019. Fox recently sold the majority of their assets to Disney in a blockbuster deal. So Fox recently bought the rights to the NFL Thursday Night Football package, however, and they want to add WWE programming to put alongside UFC programming. If they do get this, Monday Night Raw would head back to 2 hours, and SmackDown Live would head over to FS1, which is not a basic cable channel. It's a part of whatever cable subscription you end up getting that's higher than the basic one, if it's an access or a higher access or whatever they call them nowadays. I have PlayStation View, so it's like core, access, slim, whatever. Yeah, it's no secret that Fox's deal with the UFC is also expiring at the end of 2018. So at the end, this could all just be a ploy just to get Fox or to get the UFC to lower their numbers in their deal and stick with Fox. So who knows what the hell's going to happen. I'm not a TV rights expert, but I do know that Fox wants to pair WWE and UFC in the end. So, yeah. We've already gone pretty long here for this podcast, so I think we're going to end it there. Does anyone else have anything to add? Travis does not have anything to add. He already left.
If you're going to let me talk now, can I talk?
Go ahead, bitch. I'm leaning back. I'm listening.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want the people listening to know that this has just been a long time coming. I'm just sick of hearing this annoying voice all the fucking time. I know you probably guys are probably tired of hearing my voice and my rants, but it's just gotten to me now. I'm totally just beyond the point of sitting back and shutting up. It's the fact of this podcast is supposed to be, I don't know, some kind of beacon for us to express ourselves, and it just feels like sometimes fuck or the other end of the microphone just wants to not give any fucking feeling on what the hell should be said about things. Even though today he may be proud by saying stuff about Roman, I mean, even though it took him, I don't know, about 5 fucking years to voice his opinion, I just really think I'm that we should, what they want is have our fucking opinions be heard on certain things instead of just reporting it and saying word for word what the fuck happened. Because obviously other podcasts do that, and I think the fans want to hear something a little bit. But who knows what, who cares what Ashton says, you know? Doesn't matter, because Matthew Hadrian runs the show around here. Technical leader of BTC.
You had it right, right there. You had it right, right there. Who cares what you say? Aaron.
Who cares? Okay, Matt. I see how it is now.
You know? All right, Aaron.
Still a little bitch of BTC. Hey, Aaron. Can you save us from hearing this fucking voice again?
Yeah, please? Okay, Aaron. Come on. We'll be. Hey, for anyone listening to this, we might possibly be looking for a new podcast guest in 2 weeks. So, inquire away, Aaron.
What?
Yeah.
All right, that's the end of the BTC Top Rope Talk podcast for episode 6. We will see you not next Friday, but
Vince Russo sucks.
I'll have you know, bro, that I ran WWE rating sky high through the Attitude Era, bro.
That's now nobody wants to hear that tired ass shit.
Yeah, no one wants to hear your tired ass shit about Roman Reigns for the 6th straight week either. All right, we'll see you in 2 weeks on the BTC Top Rope podcast. I already know Ashton spoke his piece. Aaron, if he wants anything else to add, have at it.
No, I'm good for now.
All right. Well, we'll see you on the page, except maybe for Ashton. We don't know about his future yet. Later, guys.